Okay. You know, there's prophetic timelines all through the Word of God. There's times when all of a sudden there's a dramatic shift. And in those moments when there becomes a dramatic shift, there's a great influx of hindrance and attack by the enemy. And there's a great outpouring of the grace of God to be able to accomplish what God is wanting to accomplish in the earth. And so you and I, we're at a time point right now where there is so much division. And so we know that we've got to flip that, because our God is a God by Jesus Christ that brings people together. And so as we see such a divisive nature, you and I, we've just slipped through another birth pain that Jesus talked about in Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21. And so as we slip through that, now I believe we're coming into a season, just as a lady mother that's fixing to give birth. You know, there's a great intense push, the pain, and then there's a release until that next pain comes. And so in that time frame, you and I, we need to be alert, and we need to be about our Father's business and do what God would have us to do. Because with the anointing of the enemy, come on, the devil has an anointing. The anointing of the enemy to bring division, that's sin, right? And we have the promise that God said where sin abounds, that His grace would abound that much more. And so you and I, we need to receive that grace, and we need to have an expectancy that in this time frame that we can do what God would have us to do. Amen? You're going to have to just pray this out. If you don't have revelation of this yet, if you don't feel this in your spirit yet, don't cast it away. You hold on to it and you pray it out. And God's going to have us on the same page. Amen? Because you and I, we all love Jesus. We all want the will and the plan of God. But this morning is a very critical moment in this part of God's church body. This morning has a prophetic implication of what God's going to do, because, yes, we're going to have a baptismal service after this part of the service, but it's not just doing something to be doing something. It has a prophetic meaning, and the prophetic meaning is that we've got a younger generation and an older generation that are going to be freshly baptized, and it's a type for us to understand what is fixing to happen. Now, we've been talking about it for a year now, that God is going to get the younger generation and move them out into His plan, His will, and it's going to cause the older generation to be moved into a place of expectancy that they've lost. Amen. And it's going to be miraculous. I turn off the TV, turn off the doom and gloom. Yes, things are going to happen, and in the natural, they're scary. But in the spiritual, you and I know who we serve. Amen? And I'm telling you, all is well in heaven. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Amen? It's okay. Nobody's nervous in heaven. Everybody's expectant. You and I, we need to be expectant. All right, so you bear with me. We're going to lay out a little foundation here of what we're doing, and we're going to see some truths. Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Let's start reading for sake of time, verse 11, because we got some ground to cover. You'll have to, you can't get all you need in preaching. Come on now. You got to have your study time at home, and you got to take what the highlights that God gives you in a service and take it to your home study time and let the Spirit of God. That's why churches don't come together. If we're not all on the same page, if we're being fed from a different table, we got a problem. All right. Hebrews 5 and 11, of whom we have many things to say. In other words, he said that there's some difficult things to explain, the writer of Hebrews here, and he says, I want you to know that they're hard to be uttered. And he said, because seeing you are dull of hearing. Now, I'm not calling you that. We're getting somewhere. Verse 12, for when the time that you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he or she, he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age. Say, that's me. Even those by the reasons of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now keep going. Chapter 6, Hebrews 6 and 1. This is one full thought. Therefore, leaving the principles of doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. Say, that's me. Let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and the faith toward God, of the doctrines of baptisms. Notice that's plural, underline it in your mind, of the doctrine of baptisms and the laying on of hands and of the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. Brother Donnie, would you pray? Yes, Lord.
Let that rain come down out of heaven and dwell within our hearts, Lord, with that expectation in our lives,
yes.
Lord. Your heart to be bubbling out, Lord, overpowering in our mind, Lord. And I ask you in Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much, Brother Donnie. Thank you for honoring the word. Hallelujah. So, you and I this morning, we're in a place where we're hungry for the meatier things of God. Amen? And so having that hunger comes from growing. You know, you look at babies and how they, you know, like Kylie and Elizabeth, just, you know, they just got a stomach just like the size of your little finger. But as every time they eat and they grow, they get develop more of a hunger. And, you know, and you look at now Stephen, man, he can put down that juice, no problem, not whatsoever. That little tummy, he can stretch it out. So that's what happens to us. That's a natural aspect. You and I, when the Spirit, when we get born again, we get hungry for the things of God. And we're so hungry that we eat a lot of things. You know, but we got to make sure that we're eating from the table of the Lord. We got to make sure that we're letting Him fill us up and we can exercise that discernment. See, when you got born again, the Holy Ghost come to live in your spirit. Amen? Come to live in my spirit. And He leads us and guides us, Jesus said in John 14, into all truth. So there's nothing that can be hid from you if you and I are willing to let Jesus by the Spirit teach us. Now, there's a lot of things in my life that I kept looking through them through my own glasses, through my own feelings, through my own experience. And see, when I take the Word of God and I apply it through my experience rather than the truth of the Holy Ghost, it gets skewed, it gets turned, it gets twisted. But if I look at it, yeah, if I look at it by the power of the Spirit, I'll see it like I've never saw it before. That's why the Apostle Paul said that we look through a glass darkly. Amen? In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, he said we look through a glass darkly. And of course, when he made that statement at that time period, the glass was made out of highly polished metal. And so, you know, you and I, we could pick up a stainless steel pot and we could look into the lid of that and we could get an image of what we look like, right? But it's going to be twisted. It's going to be in a place where we don't have the full revelation of it. But he said that you and I, as we put away childish things and we grow up and we move into the deeper things of God, we have an assurance that we're going to see things as they truly are. And he talks about when the perfect is come. Well, you know, some people teach that the perfect is this Bible. Well, this Bible is perfect, but that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about the body of Christ, blood washed by Jesus Christ, being raised up and matured and passing from this body into the next, that glorified body. That's when perfect will become, when God will have His family the way He wants it. So anyway, this morning, you and I, we've got to be in the place and the position that we understand that He talks about that we've got to have a good foundation. He wants us to move on unto perfection, unto completion. And so many times, I can remember when I first got saved, didn't want to necessarily hear about the foundational things. I was hungry for the book of Revelation. Anybody ever been there? I wanted, and so you direct your mind toward that. You direct your questions towards that. And I could not know more understand anything in the book of Revelation. I didn't need to be in the book of Revelation. I needed to be in the simplicity, the milk of the Word. And so you learn some things. Come on, life is about experience and it's about growing. And so here Paul says, I want you to be come to the place of perfection. And the way that you do that is you lay a foundation. The foundation, of course, is Jesus Christ. Remember the Apostle Paul to the church at Corinth? He said, no man layeth another foundation. He reiterated in Ephesians chapter 2, other than Jesus Christ. But then we build upon Jesus and upon the apostles. We build upon that. And so this is what Paul is saying here. And he says that you need to know about the laying on the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God. But I want us to talk this morning, specifically since we're having a baptismal service, in verse number 2, of the doctrine of baptisms. So we need to understand some things. I know there is so much confusion in the body of Christ about what happens really. You can look through the Word of God, and in the Bible there is, and it's according to how you define it, but according to how I define it, which means nothing, it matters how God defines it, there's at least 7 types of baptisms. But in the New Testament, there's 3 types that we've got to understand, or if we don't understand them, we'll be confused. Amen? All right, so let's talk about that just for a minute. Laying a foundation, and building the truth upon it. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul here is trying to bring the Corinthian church into line. But he tells them, and starting in verse number 11, 1 Corinthians 12 and 11, he's been talking about the gifts and all of those things. But he says, but all of these gifts, they worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. In other words, God gives the gifts as the will of the Spirit. But anyway, verse number 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. So we got to understand, if we're going to step up out of the trickery of the devil and step out of the flesh and step and walk into the Spirit, because the Bible promises us in Galatians 5:16, if I walk in the Spirit, I shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If I want that victory, then I need to see some things. I need to see that when I got born again, when I got saved, that the Holy Ghost literally immersed me into the body of Christ. Now, Christ, He chose to adopt us in, and we become a part of His many-membered body. Amen? You are literally, that's how you're seated in heavenly places, but you're walking on the earth. Amen? Ephesians chapter 2. So notice what he said in verse 13. 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one Spirit, say the Holy Ghost. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. Isn't that exciting? That when you accept Jesus Christ. See, Romans 12:3, He dealt to every man, every woman, every boy and girl, the measure of faith. He drawed you by the Spirit, and He dealt to you the measure of faith. And when you received the grace of God through that faith, then you were born again. And what happened, literally, the Word of God come into your spirit. The Holy Ghost moved upon that, germinated that. Your spirit becomes a brand new creature and brand new creation, 2 Corinthians 5:17, in Jesus Christ. And that immersion in that spirit took you out of this world and took you and set you in Christ Jesus. Is that not exciting? So that's why Brother Corey and Brother Justin were leading us in that. The enemy can't change who we are. Because who you are is a born-again, blood-bought, blood-washed child of the living God. You have been sealed until the day of redemption of this body, putting on that glorified body, into Christ Jesus. So here you are this morning. He said, for by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made to drink into one Spirit. So you and I can have unity in diversity. We're supposed to. See, God doesn't want 100 of me and 100 of you. He wants one of you and one of me, and He wants us to be one together in the body of Christ, where Christ can express Himself through you. Isn't that something? See, but I was real good expressing the world. I had no issues, no problem whatsoever expressing that. But today, I get to express Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, by the Holy Spirit in my spirit with my brothers and my sisters. And so we're all coming to that perfection that Hebrews 6 was talking about. We're coming to that perfection, that completion. But we got to make sure that we stay on the foundation. We got to make sure that we build on the truth, and we don't let the devil deceive us. You cannot be. You can walk away. I can walk away, but he cannot take you out of that ceiling of that Holy Ghost. Now I can choose to walk away from it. I have free will, but the devil cannot force me out. Amen. I am. You are a child of God. Come on, when the Holy Ghost does something, He does it right. All right, so here we are this morning. Now, hold your place here. Let me read one more. Verse 14 says, "For the body is not one member, but many." You know, he's trying to paint us a picture where we can understand. I need my arm. Come on, you need your brother and sister. I need my brother and sister. We need each other. All right, Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 5. Let's just go ahead and read verse 5. There's one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Now, a reason why I wanted to cover that, because we didn't look to where the Bible said that they were doctrines of. This says one baptism. So we know the Word of God is perfect. Come on, it's tried in the fire as of 7 times, and it come out lacking nothing. So there's no confusion in the Word of God. Here, Paul is addressing the spiritual baptism by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. Yeah. Amen? So you're baptized into that body. And so that's why this is the baptism that is the most important. Because if you're not baptized by the Holy Ghost into the body of Christ, you can be dumped in water. You can do all sorts of things, and you're not saved. You're not born again. And because there's no work that you can do or I can do that causes us to be born again. This is a work of regeneration of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And it's perfect. All right. So, look what he said. He said in verse number 3, he said, "Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond, in the ligament, in the joint of peace." He said, "There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called into one hope of your calling." So we've got to see that in this many-membered body, just as you're in the natural, your body sometimes gets hurt. You get something out of joint, or something gets messed up, or whatever. It's hard to function. It's hard to operate. Well, he's showing us that this happens within the body of Christ, and so right now there is so much division. There's so much divisiveness that's happening, and churches are literally they're pulling away from these foundational truths that they know is what caused them and led them and brought them to salvation. And what is happening? It's because there is a great attack on the Church of the Living God. And you've got to be ready for it. I got to be ready for it. We've got to know that with the sin that is abounding and the call that is on your life to reach a lost and dying world, you're going to meet the devil head on like you've never met him before. But you got to see on the other side of the cross that Jesus has done defeated him. He's a defeated foe. Yes, you've got to battle. But Jesus has won the war. Amen? All right. So, we understand that going to church, giving in the offering, all of these things, none of these things save somebody. And so, why are we going over this? Because you're going to come into contact. God is fixing to bring some people in your life and my life that they have no clue. All they've ever done is heard about Jesus. And they've heard from people who maybe had well intentions, but they didn't know anything either. And so it's up to you and I. You have a responsibility. When you got born again, you were placed in the body of Christ with a testimony. And that testimony is to tell people that Jesus Christ is... When you see Jesus, you see God the Father. You see the heart of the Father. And the heart of the Father is, I want to save people. I want to bring them to me. I don't want to push them away. And so you and I, it's so critical that we stand up in that place, in that position of love, and we stay on that foundation that brings deliverance, that brings people to victory in Jesus. Amen? All right. So the other two baptisms, let's talk about them. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, as Jesus is getting ready to go ascend on high, we know these verses very well. It's called the Great Commission. But he tells us that we are to be water baptized. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, and Jesus came and he spake unto them, he spake unto these 11 as he's getting ready to ascend. And here's what he had to say. He said, all power, and you and I have talked about it all the time, don't look at it as power, look at it as authority. The Greek word is exousia, and it means authority, because authority will trump power every time. Amen? And so it's not about how strong you are. It's about the authority that Jesus Christ has gave you. You've got the authorization, the deputization to use the power of attorney to use the name of Jesus. So you have the authority. Okay. So he said, all power, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Hallelujah. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them. Mark this down. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now I'm going to say something, and some of you may be offended when I say it. And I do not mean it with offense. I mean it in love. And you may have not heard it. You may not agree with it. But you take it to prayer. Amen. Because I tremble. I tremble at this responsibility. I tremble in understanding that everything I say is going to be judged by the living God. I'm going to have to stand before Him and give an account of everything I say. So with all humility and with a desire to be led into all truth and to be corrected in any way if I need it, I want the Lord to do that. Amen? But I want you to think about this. Do you realize there's a lot of people who are saved, but they're not disciples? See, I for a long time, I was saved. I was on my way to heaven, but I wasn't a disciple. You say, that don't make sense. See, you can accept salvation and you can be born of the Spirit and not be disciplined. The word disciple is mathetes. It means to be disciplined by the Word. To let the Word cause you to grow up. And so, let's say that you get born again and there's certain things on that foundation that you don't deal with that Paul talked about. If you don't deal with those things, you're saved, you're on your way to heaven, but you're not building on the foundation that Jesus and the disciples, the apostles, taught. I'm not building on it. And so I've got an issue. I've got a problem that I've got to correct. And I need to see. He said, teaching them, notice what he said, to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. So, in other words, we need to walk the way Jesus taught his disciples to walk. And when we walk that way, we ourselves become a disciple. We, in other words, a disciple, a pupil, a learner of Jesus Christ. I can't say I'm a learner of Jesus Christ if I don't follow Him. Because Jesus said in Luke 6:46, He said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things that I say? Right. Amen? Right. So it's important. So here we are. He said, I want you to what? I want you to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Now, He can't be talking about being baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ, because I can't baptize anybody into the body of Christ. You can't. Humans can't do that. Only the Holy Ghost. So He's got to be talking about water baptism. And so, why is this important? It's important because Romans chapter 6, Romans chapter 6. Do you know why there's so many people that get saved and they never come to discipline in Jesus Christ? They struggle with the flesh. They struggle with a mind that is always being twisted by the enemy. They struggle about whether they should give to the Lord in their time, in their finances, in their effort. All of these things, they struggle. It's because they haven't built on that foundation. I knew we'd get quiet. Romans chapter 6. Look what he says. Let's just start at verse number 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us that were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by the baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Life there is Zoe, that God kind of life. Remember John 10:10? Jesus said, I came that you might have life, Zoe, the God kind of life, and might have it more abundantly. All right, so the key for me to having abundant life, the key for me walking in the newness of life, is that I recognize that I've been baptized spiritually into the body of Christ by the Holy Ghost. But I know that when I let Jesus teach me to obey whatever He's commanded, I become His disciple. I become disciplined in His teaching. And when I become disciplined in His teaching, then I'm in the place where I recognize that when Jesus was placed in the tomb, when He come out of the tomb, He had fulfilled all the Word of God. Well, when you get born again, and when you do a public announcement of what has happened on the inside spiritually by water baptism, and you come up out of that water, you become disciplined in the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you start walking in the newness of life. In other words, you reckon yourself as a dead man. In other words, the things of the dead man don't bother you anymore. They don't bother me anymore. Amen? Look what he said. He said, verse 5, Romans 6, 5, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. Now, this is twofold. This is talking about being baptized by the Spirit of God, but it's talking about the baptism, us obeying the Word of God. Verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin... Now, what are we talking about? We're talking about the flesh. Isn't this exciting? Now, you need to be excited this morning, not be on the defense. You need to be in the place of victory, because today is a prophetic timeline. Today is a time of a birthing of something new in your life. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is getting ready to pour out an anointing to do what God wants to do in these last days, that's going to cause people to come out from under sin and come into victory and lead other people to that same victory. Amen? Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. I don't have to be a slave. You don't have to be a slave to sin anymore. Come on, God wants to set us free in every area of our life. The torment that is in your mind, the torment that is in your body, the situation and the struggle that it seems like there's no way to overcome. When you realize that the Holy Ghost baptized you in the body of Christ, when you understand that you're being discipled by Jesus because you're doing what He said to do, your old man is dead. You're alive unto God. You're walking in the newness of life. He said, verse number 7, for he or she that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death no more have dominion over Him. Death doesn't have dominion. Hebrews 2:14, the devil is death. You have the victory this morning. Amen? And so all of those things that the devil tells you that you have to do, that you have to fall short in, that you have to be limited in, that your mindset has to be twisted, has to be limited, you laugh at Him in the name of Jesus and say, I am free from you. I'm free from your hold. Yes, you had a right. See, the devil had a right to this old man because of what Adam and Eve done in the garden. Adam bowed to him and made him his God. Jesus Christ did not bow in His garden. Come on, Jesus overcome in the garden. And now you and I have the overcomer in our life. And because Christ overcame, we overcome. All right. I know I'm running out of time. Acts. Go with me to Acts chapter 8, I think. In Acts chapter 8, you got Philip. He goes down to Samaria and he preaches the gospel to them because of the persecution that Saul is bringing on the church. And look at verse number 5, Acts 8 and 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria. Samaria translated, fully translated, instead of only transliterated, means watch station. And he preached Christ unto them. You and I, we need to be looking and watching. Jesus said, when you see the things that we're seeing come upon the earth, look up. Because your redemption draweth nigh. Where are we looking at? We need to be looking up, amen? Because if we're looking up, we'll see the heart of God. The heart of God is there's people out there that need the salvation message. They need the victory of Jesus Christ, amen? Then he went down, okay, verse 6. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Verse 7. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them and were taken with palsies and that were lame and they were healed. And there was great joy in the city. Where the word of God is being preached, there's great joy. Come on, there's great joy. And so you and I, we have an opportunity to bring great joy. But for sake of time, drop down and look at verse 12. Now, after he preached the message to him, the gospel message, Acts 8 and 12. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were both men and women. All right? They couldn't have been baptized in the body. Right? Because the Holy Ghost is the only one that can do that. They were already, that happened the moment that they heard the gospel message. So this is water baptism. They are baptized and they become disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen? I'm going to say I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. Woo! That means if you're disciplined in Jesus, you can do the works that He did. Amen. Amen? I didn't say it. That's what the Bible says, right? I believe the Bible, don't you? Verse 13. And of course, this is about Simon the sorcerer. But he said, then Simon believed, himself believed also. He got delivered from that spirit of sorcery. And he was what? Glory. Jesus wants to save the people who are in deceit. The people who are following the devil, who are working for the devil, who are bringing hurt and harm. Jesus wants to save them, but we got to be like Philip. We got to be watching and see where the Lord will send us. Oh, glory. I'm telling you, your steps are ordered by the steps of a righteous man, woman, boy, or girl. They're ordered by the Lord. Amen. You're fixed to step into some things you never stepped in before in this season of this birth pain that's going to bring salvation and deliverance. I believe it with all my heart. All right. Now, go down to verse 15. They bring Peter and John down in verse 14. Verse 15 says, Peter and John, who, when they were come down, they prayed for them that they might receive, they might take for themselves the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, so this is the third type of baptism that Paul says of the doctrine of baptisms. So we've got being baptized by the Holy Ghost into the body of Christ. We've got water baptism. And now all of a sudden we're talking about being baptized in the Holy Ghost for the evidence of speaking with other tongues. Now, what we concentrate on the tongue part, but we need to concentrate on, remember as we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that the gifts of the Spirit are as the Spirit wills. Thank God, every believer, when you get born again and you get baptized in the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, from that moment on, you can earnestly covet the best gifts. Come on, that's what the last verse of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 tells us to do. Earnestly covet the best gifts. So you can desire those things, but you need to know that you can speak in tongues, you can pray in tongues anytime. Right. It's not about how you feel. In the past, you know, I've talked to people and they say, well, I just don't feel anything. Well, it's an act of faith. Yes. When you open your mouth and start to pray, it's not a feeling. There's nothing about your salvation, nothing about your relationship with Jesus Christ, about what you feel. It's an act of faith. I got saved because I stepped on an act of faith. I felt the Spirit draw me, and I heard those words that Jesus is calling to me. So I believed in the heart. I confessed with the mouth. I spoke out what I was hearing in my spirit, and I was what? I was born again. Well, it's the same way in your everyday life. After you get baptized with the Holy Ghost, you can pray in the Spirit anytime, and you have the ability then, if you'll listen to what you just prayed, to then to prophetically speak it out. Because Paul said, "I, instead of just worrying about the tongues, worry, be concentrated on prophecy. Because prophecy, it edifies, it exhorts, and it comforts." Yes. All right. So we see we've went through the full rampant here. The baptism by the Holy Ghost into the body of Christ, water baptism, and baptism by the Holy Spirit for power. Power. You and I, now the only thing that is needful for salvation is being baptized by the Holy Ghost into Jesus Christ. That's the only thing. Water baptism doesn't save you, and you can go to heaven without that. The thief on the cross went to paradise that very day that Jesus was crucified. He was not baptized. And he did not have the Holy Ghost in the sense of speaking in other tongues. So these things are options if you want them to be. But they don't have to be. In other words, Jesus died on the cross to give them to us, and we need to take advantage of them. Now, let's see something here. To make sure we understand. Philip, he goes on and he comes to the Ethiopian eunuch. Drop down to verse 35. He preaches the message to him, Acts 8:35. Then Philip opened his mouth and he began to preach the scripture, and he preached unto him, unto this eunuch, Jesus, verse 36. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doeth hinder me to be baptized?" So he gets saved. In other words, he believes in the heart and confesses with the mouth. He is born again. He's baptized into the body of Christ. But all of a sudden, because Philip is teaching what Jesus taught, he wants to be what? Water baptized. Amen. And so can you imagine that they're in a desert? The Bible tells us they're in a desert place. And the moment that he accepts Jesus Christ, the moment that he hears the fullness of the gospel, bam, there's a pool of water. Isn't God good? Come on now, that God was involved in every step of that. And God is involved in every step of your life. Every step of your life. God is taking you places. I'm here to tell you, don't you listen to any lie of the devil. Your life is not over. Your life is not at the end. Your ministry is not at the end. This is just the beginning. This is what the prophet Joel prophesied. We're coming into the last days where God's going to pour out His Spirit like He's never poured it out before. There's going to be a great influx, and we're going to see people saved and delivered. Amen? It's time for signs and wonders. It's time for God to give a sign through His church and for people to wonder. Wonder toward the living God. Amen? All right. Now, where did I get to? Verse 37. And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Verse 38. And he commanded that the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch. And he what? He baptized them. Glory be to God. Now think about this. So he had an experience there that was right together. See, we try to separate things. But really, when somebody gets born again, they get baptized in the body of Christ, we need to water baptize them right then. We need to pray for them right then to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There's no time frame. I need the Holy Spirit. The moment I get saved, I need Him more then than I ever needed Him before, because the devil is going to come against me with everything he's got. Amen? All right, look at, go to chapter 9. Will you give me just a little bit of leeway? Chapter 9, Acts chapter 9, verse 17. And Ananias went his way, because the Lord sent Ananias to Saul. Okay? Saul was on his way to tear up the church, and Jesus stopped him. He knocked him off his donkey on the road to Damascus. And he got blinded in the natural, in the physical, so his eyes could be opened in the spiritual. Amen? And so he was praying and he was fasting, and God sent Ananias. Ananias is a layperson. Say, "I'm a layperson." He had the Holy Ghost because he heard from God every day. You hear from the Lord every day. Amen? And Ananias went his way, he entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou comest has sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and he arose and he was baptized. So he got saved when Jesus Christ knocked him off the donkey. All right, he gets baptized in the Holy Ghost, because Paul said, told the church at Corinth, he said, I speak with tongues more than you all. So he, even though it doesn't say that, we know that he did, because otherwise he wouldn't have had the ability to do what God had him to do. And then he arose and he was water baptized. So we see Paul becoming a disciple, becoming disciplined. And he changes from Saul. Saul means ask. To Paul. Paul means little. He become little in his own eyes that he could become big in the eyes of God. See, the more humble you and I are, the more God exalts us. All right, go to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. And here, Peter is sent to Cornelius' house. And he preaches the message to them, and verse 43, he says, to him give all the prophets and the witness that through his name, through the name of Jesus, whosoever believeth in him, believeth in Jesus, shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them, which heard the word. Now I want you to think about this. Here at Cornelius, him and his whole house, they hear the salvation message, they get baptized into the body of Christ, and they get baptized by the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues all at once. So we can't divide the two. We need to put them together and see the significance, how important they are. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them, all which heard the word, and they, verse 45, and they there of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles was also poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues, verse 46, magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as we? So we see all three baptisms in the foundation of Cornelius' household right there. So if we're going to be disciples, we need to follow the foundation. We need to build their own. You know, I've told you the story before real quickly, but my grandpa on my mom's side, I was closer to him than anybody on the earth besides Donna. And he was a person that was always getting something done, but he wasn't much into details. And he's kind of passed that down to me. But when he built his house, they come to the part of the foundation, and it was back 3/4 of an inch off or something like that. Whatever it was, he told me, I can't remember. But he didn't want to take time to fix it. He said, oh, it'll be all right. You know, and me and him, we'd go to work on that house later on, and we'd put siding on that corner or do something. Whatever you do, bam, there you are. So, you know, 40 years later, still dealing with a problem. Let's don't deal with things over and over and over. Let's come back to the foundation. Let's get things right. Let's build on the truth, and everything's going to be all right. Amen? Amen. All right. Verse 48, and he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, and they prayed with him certain days. Okay, one more real quick. Go over to Acts 16. Acts 16. Paul, he is led by the Holy Ghost, and he brings the message to Lystra, and he brings it to Lydia. And we won't take time to read all of this, but look at verse 14. Verse 14, Acts 16, 14. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. And when the Lord opens your heart, that means that Jesus comes in. Amen? So she got baptized into the body of Christ, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended unto those things which were spoken of by Paul. Verse 15. And when she was baptized, Now we're talking what? We're talking water baptism. When she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained, she compelled them, hold on to them to come. And so we could keep on, but we won't. So we have example after example. And so you and I today, I believe this with all of my heart, God is getting us ready to be able to bring a message of salvation to people. And He's going to use the young and the old. We're going to come together and we're going to be able to help people to get saved. We're going to help them get filled with the Holy Ghost, with baptizing the Holy Ghost into the body, but baptized by the Spirit of God with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. We're going to have them. We're going to have water baptisms. We're going to get people discipled in Jesus. Amen. Now, Henry's going to be baptized. Josh and Anna's going to be baptized. And I think that it's a prophetic move. It's a prophetic deal today because as we see the young and the old coming together, as we do this, you know, and you may think that it has very little impact, it's going to have a massive impact because we're going to align some things here on earth with heaven. And now I'm talking about the generation of Henry, and I'm talking about the generation of Josh and Anna. God is fixing to loose power in and through those generations, and He's going to use the younger generation to provoke the older generation to bring them into a place and a position where we see all the prodigals come back. Come on, don't you want to see them come back? I want to see them come back, don't you? God's going to do it. He's going to do it. And so this morning, I want you to believe. I want you to expect. But I don't want you to take my word for it. I want you to seek the Lord and let it bear witness with your spirit that great things are coming. That amazing things. Things that's going to make us stand back and just be in awe of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Now, I want you to stop just for a second and close your eyes, and I want you to just let the Spirit of God take you back to your life before you got born again. I want you to feel all that weight that you had on your life, that weight that I had on my life, that weight of sin. I want you to feel the despair. I want you to feel, once again, the hopelessness. Because this significance this morning of bringing the young and the old together is going to be able to go out and reach that person, that family that is feeling what you know, what you've experienced yourself. And as heavy as that weight is, and as dark as that darkness is, and as hot as that hell is, the grace of God is greater. Because God's grace saved you and caused you to be baptized in these three areas, born again, it's going to happen in others. And you're going to be available for that. Amen? Father, in the name of Jesus, let us feel like we've never felt before. Let us feel the very heart of Jesus, as Jesus Christ is the great high priest who's touched with the feeling of everyone's infirmities. Let us feel, Lord, the sadness. Let us feel the hopelessness. And let us be moved and motivated to bring people together, to cause people to be built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. Help us to have unity and oneness like we've never had before. Let us go in your power. Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do. We thank you. We're expectant. We're excited. We're so hopeful. Let it be in Jesus' name. This morning, would you come and make yourself an altar, or make yourself an altar at your seat? And just spend some time with the Lord. Let Him show you that foundation of Jesus Christ that you're built upon that it'll never shift. Let Him show you some areas that He wants to reveal to you to build anew and afresh in your life, to make you stronger, to let you have more of the joy of the Spirit of God. Because see, as we become more disciplined in the teachings of the Lord, we empty out of those things that would steal the joy, that would limit and hinder. And you may be here this morning and you're dealing with some things in your family. And they seem overwhelming. They seem like you just don't know what to do about it. Would you make yourself an altar there, or come up here and make yourself an altar, wherever you feel comfortable, and just let the Lord talk to you. The Lord is mindful of everything that is on your heart. He's mindful of every situation in your family, in your friends. He wants to bless you and He wants to help you. But in case you're here this morning and you haven't built upon this foundation, the greatest thing you can ever do is just say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I want my life built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. I recognize and realize that I am part of all of those that have sinned. But I repent of that sin. I ask that you forgive me, because I believe, I trust in the name of Jesus. And I claim the name of Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. And I ask to be forgiven. And the moment that you do that, the moment that you say that, the Holy Ghost comes into your spirit and makes you born anew, baptizes you into this body that we're talking about, and you're on that foundation. See, God hears His children, but He also hears us trying to make us His child. So wherever you're at this morning, would you come and make that place, or at your pew, at your chair, whatever, and make sure that you hear from Jesus this morning, because I'm telling you, great things are coming, and He wants you to be a part of it. Hallelujah. If you need prayer, let me know. Hallelujah.